You know, I think Wayne is absolutely paying me back for all the times that I punished him. First two classes he had me teach little ones in front of all you ladies that I know could have done a much better job. And I don't even like having a helper in my class because I don't really like teaching in front of adults. But we made it through. I said, okay. When he asked me, I said, okay, I can do that. And then he says, but then I want you to teach a lesson on if my children were young again. And I said, oh, I know he's punishing me now. He says, I'm getting you back, Mom. So if you don't mind, just bear with me. Those of you that know Wayne know he's a very tender-hearted person. That was evident Monday night when he introduced his dad. There's a kind of a joke between my son in love and my daughter that who's going to be the first to shed a tear or cry, her dad or Wayne? And, you know, they're pretty even. But their mom's a little tender-hearted, too. She tries to hide it a little bit more than they do. But I prayed long and hard over this lesson, and I had a couple of ladies I saw last night. I said, just say a prayer for me tonight to get through this. But, you know, you look for a silver lining in everything that you do. And, you know, my silver lining is I get to get up here and brag on the most important people in my life. And so that's my silver lining for today. This is a humbling title, If My Children Were Young Again. And, you know, we don't like to admit our mistakes and tell everybody that what we've done wrong, but yet he wants me to do it in front of all of y'all. So I say the person that's never made a mistake is the person that's never done anything. I have two wonderful children. I have two wonderful children in love. They're not my children in law, they're my children in love. And I have six amazing grandchildren. Shelley is my daughter, and she is a very beautiful, talented, hardworking wife and mother. Most of all, she's a worker in the Lord's church. She is married to a gospel preacher, Dan Cates, and she has two of my amazing grandchildren. Wayne is my son, and he's a handsome, talented, hardworking husband and father, and awesome gospel preacher. He's married to Shana Kay, and they have the other four of my amazing grandchildren. In no way can I express how proud I am of Shelley and Wayne. I've always said, in spite of their mother, they turned out to be great children. I've always prayed that they would grow up to be faithful Christians, loving God with all their hearts and finding faithful mates to marry and go to heaven. My prayer has been answered. David and I set out years ago to start a legacy for our children. What I mean by legacy is that one day they would be able to look back and say, my great-great-great-grandmother was a Bible class teacher in the Lord's church, and my great-great-great-grandfather was a gospel preacher, and so on. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I've learned from them, repented. I've gotten off track a few times, but now my blessings are overflowing. So our legacy begins. Let me go back to that. My blessings are overflowing. Do I have a big house, land, a big bank account? No, I don't. But I have a faithful husband and children, who love me and love the Lord. Do they have big houses, land, and a big bank account? No. But they have mates that are helping them go to heaven and amazing children. So our legacy begins. A few weeks ago, I read this and I thought it was very fitting for this lesson. It says, I wish I did not make mistakes, but I do. I wish I had all the answers, but I don't. I wish I could see into the future, but I can't. So I have to trust God for forgiveness, guidance, and allow Him to hold my tomorrow. That's all we can do, isn't it? The first thing I'd like to say today is the things I wished I had done more of. I wished I had... It's not working right. Oh, okay. I wished I had hugged them more and longer. I wished I had kissed them more. I wished I had told them I loved them more. I wished I had prayed for them more. It's not working. Is it on behind y'all? Okay, there it is. Now, I want to stop for just a minute on praying for them more. They do listen when you pray with them. I would take them and I would pray with them, and I would always pray that they would find a Christian person to marry. And then I would also pray that for the mommies and daddies that were raising their wife and husband to be. So one day after we prayed, as Wayne and Shelley got up to walk off, Wayne says, "There mama goes, praying again for us to get married." So they listen, but I wished I had done it more often. I wished I had studied with them more. And one thing I didn't put on the PowerPoint is I wish I hadn't worried about what other people thought as much. Because, you know, as preacher's wife, sometimes we tend to worry about what people think. You know, ladies, if we're doing what God wants us to do, raising our children the way He wants them to be raised, we should not worry about what other people think or say. We just need to do our job. Now, I think most of us would probably say amen to all this, that we would do more of these different things. But, you know, we're still mothers, and we still have time as long as we're here and they're here. So just keep doing, and if you're not doing, start doing these things. Now, there's some things that I would not do different. I would still teach them that there's nothing more important than loving and serving God. I would not do that. I would always teach my children that that's the most important thing. I would teach them that Christ and the church, Christ's church is the only church, and that He wants us to go to heaven, and He died for that church. So it's very important. Remember, Wayne loved his mama. If anybody knows him, you know he loved his mama. That was my mother. They were very, very close. And in the summer, they were not Christians, but they wanted him all summer when he was out of school. I'd let him go a good bit because he loved to be there so much. Shelley would go. Sometimes she would go to David's mom's and he would go to my mom's, and then they would be together some. But since my parents weren't Christians, I had one rule. They could stay, but they had to go to worship services on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, on Sunday nights, and Bible class on Sunday mornings. Not only that, they had to be taken to a certain congregation in another town close by them, because where they lived, the congregation was very liberal. Well, I couldn't tell my parents that. They didn't know any different. But they said, okay, they would abide by these rules. But you just have to know my mom. One time she decided, well, it doesn't matter. I'm taking him to church with me. She never went to church, but she's going to take him with him that day. Shelly was at her other grandparents. Wayne went and hid his shoes and said, my mom, I can't go. I don't know where my shoes are. So he knew, he was small, he was young, but he knew when he got home, he said, Mom, I'm so sorry. I had to lie to Mama, but I had to hide my shoes where she wouldn't take me to another church. So teach your children that the Christ Church is the one and only. I would still have strict rules, as they called them. I would punish them when they needed it. And they did need it, even though they said they didn't. They were good children, very good children. And they would tell me, you don't know how good your children are, Mama. And I said, yeah, but if you didn't get a few spankings here and there, you wouldn't be as good. And you know, spankings still are okay. And I come from the old school, and I used to think spankings were the only thing. But I've figured out that there are other ways of punishment. When they were little, they fought so bad. I thought, they're going to hate each other when they grow up. I don't know what to do. Every time they'd look at each other, they'd get in an argument. It didn't matter what it was about, they would fight. Well, there was an elder at South Haven, that's where we were members at the time, that had two wonderful children that were grown, and they were just best friends. And I thought, I want my kids to be that way. I don't want them to hate each other when they grow up, but they're going to, because they fight all the time. So I told Miss Williams one time, I'm going to give you my kids and let you raise them till they get to be adults. I'll take them back then. And so I thought, what am I going to do? I tried everything. I punished them every way I could think of. But one day, I don't know if we were sitting in church and I thought about it, singing this song or what, but and I'm paying Wayne back. I'm telling all his secrets. I thought, angry words. That's it. So one day they started fighting. I said, come in here, sit down on this couch, look at each other and sing angry words to each other. Oh my word, you'd have thought I'd have killed them. But they did, and you know, I would do it, and then it got better and it got better. And you know, I don't know if the song had anything to do with it, except for they don't really like the song now. And that's not good. But they have become best friends. They are best friends, and I'm so glad. I would still have strict rules on what they could and could not wear. I can't see that, so I'm not sure if I'm the right one. You know, we shouldn't need to have strict rules for our kids. You know, if we don't go out and buy the things that they're not supposed to wear, they won't be able to wear them. So, but still, I would have strict rules on what they could and could not wear, where they could and could not go, who they could and could not go with, about their dating, their curfew, the age of dating. Do you know it's so rewarding? I told Wayne and Shelley, you can't date till you're 16. Oh, Wayne thought that was horrible. You know what? He tells me today, my girls are not dating till they're 18. I said, if I'd have told you that, you would have had a fit. And he said, you weren't strict enough. I thought, whoa, that's awesome. You know what? I would still interfere in their lives. I wouldn't do any different. I'd say, where are you going? What are you doing? What are you studying today? Have you got your homework? Have you got your Bible class work? I would be interfering in their life. And I did, and I still would. But you know, hindsight is 20/20, and we all make mistakes, and we all would love do-overs every now and then. But we can't. So start where you are and do what you can. For the next few minutes, I want us to look at a few things that God's Word would tell us that we need to do for our children. The first thing he tells us to do is love them. We all know the passage in Titus 2:3-5. And I've always wondered why God would have to tell us to love our husbands, to love our children. Have you ever thought about that? Why would he have to tell us that? I mean, didn't we marry them? Didn't we love them when we married them? Didn't we want children? But you know what? It's very obvious in the world, isn't it, that some people do not love their husbands and some people do not love their children. It's obvious by the divorce rate and by the abuse. It's obvious that they don't love their children by the abortion rate, the abuse of children left to their self. It's very obvious that love needs to be taught. But the world doesn't teach us what love is, does it? Love teaches us that the world is this mushy, feely type of love, and the word is distorted, and we use love for, I love chocolate, and I love puppies, and ooh, I love those new pair of shoes I just bought. That's not the kind of love we're talking about, is it? The world's perverted love by saying it doesn't matter whether people do wrong, just don't tell them. You hurt their feelings, different things like that. So the world is definitely perverted the word love. But true love is telling people that they're wrong or that they need help or that they need something. Because Jesus told the rich young ruler in Mark 10:21, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing." Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Jesus said in John 14:23, the first part, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Love is an action. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Love, Bible love, is agape love, sacrificial love. So how should we love our children? Well, we should do what's best for them, whether they like it or not. Have you ever heard any parents say, "I just want to be my child's friend"? You ever heard anybody say that? I have. You know what? When they grow up and they have their own children, then you become friends if you raise them like they need to be raised. Friendship is reserved for those children and parents that are grown. Loving our children doesn't mean handing them everything on a silver platter. Loving our children doesn't mean that we give them everything we didn't have. The world tells us that we're wrong when we discipline our children. You know, I've heard people say, "I just love my child too much to discipline him." But God's word says in Proverbs 13:24, "Whosoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." True love is in Ephesians 6:4. "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And in the ESV it says, "discipline and instruction of the Lord." Love is making sure they attend VBSs, youth activities, worship services, telling them no at times, making them work for what they get. Loving your children also means hugging them, kissing them, being there for them when they're sick, when they're discouraged, when they in good times and bad times. Love is spending time with them and listening to them. Most of all, love is sacrificing everything we have to make sure that they get to heaven. Just a couple of demonstrations of love from God's word. In Exodus chapters 1 and 2, we know of the demonstration of love of Jochebed, don't we? How she risked her life to save her son. Also, in 1 Kings 3, 16 through 8, of the two harlots. Remember when they went before the King Solomon? One woman had killed her son accidentally and claimed that the other woman's son belonged to her. And so Solomon said, okay, bring a sword and we'll cut this baby in two. Y'all know, remember the story. What did the real mother do? She said, give the baby to the other woman. That's real love. That's sacrificial love. And then one of my favorites is in 1 Samuel 1, chapters 1 and 2, and 21. And I was so glad when Shana Kay told me she was going to name Hannah, because that's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. How Hannah went and prayed for a son, wanted a son so bad, and she promised God she would give him back. You know, how hard would that do to leave your son and not see him but once a year? But she sacrificed. It was a demonstration of love. And how many women do you know use their blessings for excuses not to work in the Lord's church, not to attend services? You know, my baby had a rough night, or my kids don't really want to come, or instead of using that blessing and serving God. The next thing I'd like for us to talk about is teaching them. Proverbs 1:8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Did I do something to it? Is it running? I did then. Okay, there you go. When should we teach our children? And these words I command you today, that shall be in your heart, and shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall walk with them, talk with them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Every opportunity we're to teach our children. What age should we teach our children? Start teaching our children. Well, in Timothy's case, he was taught as a babe. 2 Timothy 3:15, and also it tells us who taught him in 2 Timothy 1:5. His mother and his grandmother. And it says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. So we need to teach our children while they're babes. But with the influence and the teaching of a grandmother and a mother, look at what Timothy was able to accomplish. I don't know why this don't want to work. She said it would work from anywhere. This is a first PowerPoint for me, so I guess that's it. Okay. So, let me see where I am. I'm sorry. Just think what Timothy became because of his mother and grandmother. He became a gospel preacher in the Lord's church, and he was called Paul's son in the faith. A Catholic says, give me a child till he's seven and he'll be a Catholic for life. Can we learn something from this? Till he's seven. Not when he's seven, but till he's seven. We can learn a lesson from this. We need to teach our children when they're babes. Let's think about Jochebed for a minute. She took every opportunity she had to teach Moses. And we read, and she also had to teach who he was and who God was. We read in Hebrews 11, by faith, Moses, when he was grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rather choosing to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin for a season. Who taught him that? His mother did. And we know that. You know, Jochebed took every opportunity she had with Moses. But you know, she had two other children at home she had to teach also. And we forget about them. We talk a lot about Jochebed teaching Moses. But Jochebed had raised two great leaders, Aaron and Moses. She also raised a courageous daughter, one that made sure that she took care of her brother. Remember her going and watching for her brother and then running and getting a nurse for him and made sure he got the right nurse, his own mother. And Jochebed took every opportunity she had to teach her children. A part of teaching our children is to teach them how to apply it to their lives. We can read God's word to our children all day. We can make sure they get all their Bible lessons and learn all their memory verses, all their facts, but if we don't teach them how to apply it, it won't do them any good. Now, Wayne was our talker. Shelley, you had to pull it out of her. And Wayne would ask questions, a lot of questions. That's probably where Bailey gets hers. He's getting paid back, because David calls Bailey his million-dollar question girl, I think is what he calls her. And Wayne asked a lot of questions, and he would say, "Daddy, whatever," and David would answer him, and he said, "Son, that's a good lesson found in there," and he would start telling him the lesson. Well, Wayne said, "Oh no, here comes another sermon," is what he would say. So one day we heard him speak on the home at South Haven, and he was telling me that Hannah had asked him a question, and he said, "Hannah, that's a good question, and you know, you could learn something from that." And Hannah, and then he said, he kind of stepped back and he said, "Oh no, I've become my dad." So, you know, it does work, but we have to teach our children how to apply God's word. We need to teach them not only God's word, but we need to teach them to be elders, deacons, leaders in the church. Mothers need to teach we need to teach them to be followers of Christ. Who knows if we're teaching a Timothy or a Paul or a Peter or an Andrew or a Barnabas. We may be teaching a Hannah or an Esther, a Lydia or a Deborah. Who knows what we're teaching in our home? And we need to teach them to be that way. Teaching our children means showing them from God's word how to make the right decisions, such as how to dress, how to act, what to say, what the Bible says on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, homosexuality, fornication, and other things. Now, I got to tell off on Maggie on this one. She was about 3 and at our house, and she asked us a question, "Grand, how did you and Granddaddy get stuck together?" And, of course, I told her how we flirted in high school and then started liking each other and then fell in love and then got married. And she said, "Well, how did you get stuck with me?" And I said, "Well, that's the best part of it right there." And then she goes on to say, "Well, you know, I'm going to get married 9 times. I said, "Maggie, the Bible says one man for one woman for life." And she said, "Well, Grant, I didn't know that." So, you know, so you have to teach them. And so that's... that was just sweet. I never forget that. We were just sitting at the table talking one time. She came over a lot when she was little. So don't get that very much from any of them anymore. But time is short, and our babies will be grown and gone before you know it. So teach them. Also set the example for them. You know, I read a statement the other day, 2 lines, but fit perfect here and made perfect sense. The line was, "Be the woman you want your daughter to be and the son you want your daughter to date/marry. Because who you date is who you marry. So you need to be the person, the example for them that you want them to see in others. We can teach them every minute and every day, but if we don't put it into our life, it's not going to do any good. Do as I say, not as I do, does not work. You're setting your children up for failure. Do not play dress up on Sundays and Wednesdays and live like the devil on the different days, the other days of the week. You may be fooling everyone, but you're not fooling your children. And of course, you're not fooling God. Again, I'll go back to Jochebed. She's mentioned twice by name in God's word, in Exodus 6:20 and in Numbers 26:56. She did wonderful works. She was a wonderful, God-fearing woman. She feared God rather than man. She did not bow down to the king's decree. And she raised strong, faithful leaders of God's people. She set the example that we need to set for our children. Also, what about Timothy's mother? She was a mother of great example. In Acts 16:2, it tells us that his mother was a believer, but his dad was a Greek, so his mother was his example. And you know, ladies, I don't know, how much time do I have, Shani Kay?
5:35.
Okay. Even when we set the example by showing them that it's fun to work in the church. It's not a drudgery. It's not a chore. It's something that we enjoy doing. Let them be a part of it. Tell them, don't tell them you have to go. Tell them you get to go. You know, I think a lot of times when children don't like to go, it's because their parents are complaining and griping about the things they have to do, or I have to go today, or I have to teach today. Make it something that fills our life with joy and set the example for them. I know when our kids were little, one thing that we did for them, the first little, quote, job, I guess you would say, was working on bulletin boards at South Haven, and they had a bunch of them. They had a big building. So our job was to change the bulletin boards out, we'd change one, and then by the time we'd get all of them changed, it'd be time to go back and change more. So we would let them be a part of that. They would help staple, they would help glue, they would help whatever they could do. We made it fun and something that we could do together. You know, we talk about spending time with our children. Well, that's quality time, teaching them how to do the Lord's work. And also, we have to be examples for our children, even when they're grown. If you'll know that John Mark's mother in Acts 11 and 12, when Peter was released from prison, he went to John Mark's mother's house. And what were they doing there when he got there? They were praying. The church was there together praying. John Mark's mother was still an example to him when he was grown. And look at the person that John Mark raised. We know that he had his mother and he had his Uncle Barnabas for examples. And even though there was contention at one time between Paul and John Mark, at the end of Paul's life, he wrote in 2 Timothy 4:11, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for the work, for the ministry." So no matter how old we get, we still look for examples from our parents, don't we? Our examples will either be for good or for bad. They will be examples that will either help our child on his journey to heaven or hinder him or her. Which do you want for your children? In 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be imitators of me," Paul says, "as I am imitators of Christ." Can we say to our children, be imitators of me because I imitate Christ? Isn't that what we want our children to see in us? So we need to love our children, to teach our children, and be the best example for them that they can have. Lead them to heaven, and one day we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you.